We've spoken tonight about several folks who are grieving. I think we all know to some degree what it means to grieve. But unfortunately, I think we also know to some degree what it means to grieve someone. I can't say that it's true in every situation, but sometimes to grieve someone may be a deeper hurt than to grieve. When I spoke on a Wednesday night last month, I spoke on 1 Thessalonians 5:19, that brief verse that says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Tonight I'd like for us to look at Ephesians 4:30, a somewhat parallel warning, I guess you might say, where we're challenged by Paul, the same writer, humanly speaking, that wrote to the Thessalonians about not quenching the Spirit, where we're challenged not to grieve the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." I think it's kind of interesting here. First thing that I note there is, whereas in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we were told not to quench the Spirit, and it's very evident that that's the Holy Spirit of God. But here, Paul directly identifies the Spirit of God as the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know, to me, it makes that the reality of this even more true and more gripping in my heart, that this Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And He's not, if you would say, only the Holy Spirit. I don't mean to say that in the wrong way, but He's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. And also stressed in this verse is one of the many ministries of the Holy Spirit of God for the believer, and that's His sealing ministry. We're told there not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And that's obviously put there particularly and specifically a reason by the Holy Spirit of God that He put those words there to remind us in this context of the potential of grieving the Holy Spirit of God, that we might remember that this is the very one with whom we have been sealed. Earlier in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, we read that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. The Holy Spirit is the seal. A seal does a number of things. One, it marks for ownership, and it also marks for authenticity. And we find here that it's for the day of redemption. Just as he mentions in Ephesians chapter 1, this idea of the sealing is something that is marking us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and authenticating us, particularly with the view of the day when no longer are we going to be in these bodies as they are, but we're going to be in a body that's like the body of the Lord Jesus. These same bodies, yes, but made new. Made new. And with that in mind, with thinking of what is going to occur in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when we're going to be caught up and we're going to be changed, that we think about the Holy Spirit of God is the one with whom we've been sealed, identified as belonging to God, and He's going to do that work, and we've been authenticated as, yes, this is truly my child. He has my Holy Spirit in him, in her, as the seal. And we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. To grieve means to cause to suffer or to be sad or to feel sorrow. We find it in the New Testament used in a number of ways, but normally it's used for human grief, over injustice, over death, over disappointment, over rebuke, over trials. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, can be grieved by the believer. This was written to believers, yes, in Ephesus there in the first century, but also to us, the faithful in Christ Jesus. It is possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The context of chapter 4 here, we have the chapter starts out talking about the unity and the maturity of the body of Christ. And then he goes in verses 17 through the end of the chapter, really talking about the separated lifestyle. He talks about a new mind and a new man. He talks about putting off and putting on. And within this, we are warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And when we live or speak or think or act in a manner that is not appropriate for someone who is sealed as God's, it understandably grieves the seal, the Holy Spirit of God. Again, in the New Testament, we don't see God being grieved by man specifically in other passages. But when we go to the Old Testament, I'd like for us to do that. There are a number there, and I've pulled out four that we'll see how our time goes if we have time to look at them. But if you want to turn them back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 6, and I'd like for us just to very briefly kind of notice four ways that we may be unknowingly grieving the one who is in us as a seal of God's ownership and our authenticity as belonging to God. First of all, here in chapter 6 of Genesis, we may grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we have an unrepentant heart. Notice verses 5 and 6. This, of course, is in the days of Noah, the pre-flood days. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Man grieved the heart of God because of the great wickedness and the purpose of the thoughts of the heart being evil continually. That word continually jumped out at me. What it said to me was they would not repent. They continued in the wicked purposes and thoughts of their hearts. And God was grieved. And I think about us today. Us tonight. Could any of us be holding on, hanging on to a particular sin? We're unrepentant. Continually, we're going forward with that sin. And maybe nobody else knows about it. Probably don't. More than likely, if anybody knows, it's very few in number. Maybe it's something we've just given up on and never having victory over. Or maybe we've been able to justify that sin. That's just the way I am. And a lot of people do that, and that's just someone's opinion, maybe. I don't know, but if we have an unrepentant heart, if I'm not willing to let go, to confess and to turn from that sin, then I'm saddening the Holy Spirit of God. Go over to the book of Psalms. I'd like to notice a couple there. Psalm 78. We may grieve the Holy Spirit of God not only when we have an unrepentant heart, but if we have an unfaithful heart. We're going to see the grieving of God down in verse 40. But let's start in verse 36 to get our context here. Asaph is encouraging us in this psalm to communicate the past to the generations of the future for their learning. Notice in verse 36, we'll jump in. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. There at the end of verse 40, we see the people of Israel, the people of God in the desert, in the wilderness, grieving God. By the fact that we read in verse 37, their hearts were not steadfast. Their hearts were not faithful. They said one thing with their lips in verse 36. But in verse 37, we see that their heart was not with them. Was not with what they were saying. Was not saying the same thing that their lips were saying. Oh, how compassionate our God is. Verse 38, He's full of compassion. But how frequently they provoked and they grieved Him with their hypocrisy. Could it be that some of us could be telling God things that aren't in line with our hearts? Being dishonest with the one who knows our every thought and motive. How foolish am I to ever think I can fool God? To tell Him something that's not true in my heart. If I do that, I'm causing sorrow to the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Psalm 95. Psalm 95, again, the wilderness. And as the psalmist writes here, we'll just look at verse 10. He's contrasting here joyful praise to the Lord our rock in the beginning of the psalm. And then he says in verse 10, "For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said it is a people who go astray in their hearts." We may also grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we have an unsettled heart. They had hearts that were going astray. These are men and women who saw the works of God in the wilderness, but they went astray or they erred in their hearts. They didn't know the ways of God. I would suggest that it wasn't that they didn't intellectually know the ways of God. They saw the ways of God, but they didn't experientially know the ways of God. They didn't embrace the ways of God in their own hearts and in their own lives. Their hearts were not settled. Their hearts were wandering. Their hearts were going astray. And as a result, they grieved God for 40 years. Could it be that any of us are seeing God work, but we're not allowing His ways to infiltrate our hearts? Is my heart wandering? Is your heart wandering? Even as I stand here, as your body is settled there in that pew, is my heart unsettled? Is my heart straying away rather than allowing what God has done to truly grip me? And if so, then the Holy Spirit of God is grieved. One other passage, this one in Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63, and here again, now Isaiah the prophet is referring back to the people of God in the wilderness. Isaiah 63 and verse 9, and I wish in all of these I could do more of the context, but just for the sake of our devotional tonight, verse 9, "In all their affliction, He was afflicted. And the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity He redeemed them. And He bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. So He turned Himself against them as against an enemy. And He fought against them." And notice down in verse 17. Here's their question. "O Lord, why have You made us stray from Your ways and hardened our hearts from Your fear?" Back in verse 9, we see the Lord identifying with them in their affliction. We see Him saving them, redeeming them in love and pity, and yes, carrying them, and yet they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. How could they do that? They had an unsubmissive heart that was hard. And we may grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we have an unsubmissive heart. Their hearts were hardened. In verse 17, we see they blame God for that. God, it's your fault that we can't submit to you. You're the one. Why have you done this to us? We know from a study of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, that God will only harden the heart of an individual who is hardening his or her own heart against God. I would suggest that they were blaming God for something that was their own responsibility. Am I blaming God for my hard heart of secret rebellion? If so, it saddens and sorrows the Holy Spirit of God. I prefer on Wednesday night to give words of encouragement. I hope that we can finish with encouraging words tonight. Because I ask myself the question, am I grieving the one who is the seal of God's ownership and of my authenticity? The one who loves me and teaches me and guides me and connects me with other believers? Is that me? Am I the one who is grieving the Holy Spirit of God? If so, here come the words of encouragement. He is a forgiving God. And He still is afflicted with our afflictions. And He still is wanting to carry us in His compassion and in His goodness. He still is the one who forgives. And what we may be carrying around secretly in our hearts is no secret to Him. And I'm very thankful to God that we gather together tonight as ones who I can look out on this crowd and say, I don't see anybody here who is out blatantly grieving the heart of God. I'm thankful that we can say that among the ones we're gathered with tonight. But, you know, am I grieving God in my heart? With a heart that's unfaithful or unrepentant or unsubmissive? Could that be me? Let's close in prayer. Father, we've come together for a prayer meeting. Father, we've lifted up our requests. We've shared them with one another, and then, Lord, we've acknowledged them to You. Father, one final request from our hearts tonight is, Lord, if we are in any way grieving Your Holy Spirit, Father, it may not just be one of the ways we thought about tonight. It may be another way. Lord, please show us that. Reveal it to us. We don't want to be ones who would grieve Your Holy Spirit. The one who has so graciously been the seal upon us that we belong to You and that one day we're going to be with You. Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. But Lord, until that time, how we want to honor You completely on this earth. Father, forgive us when we let Satan lie to us and tell us that it's not going to get any better in this particular area of struggle. Lord, when we let Satan deceive us into thinking that somehow it's okay to fall into this certain area of compromise, Lord, we don't want to grieve Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You, Lord, that You see us in the Lord Jesus, and we praise You for that. Just continue to work in our hearts. Might we find joy and encouragement even in that, even in these thoughts that we've had of You tonight, Lord, how You're working in our lives, how You're faithful. Father, use that to renew us for Your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. May the Lord encourage you and bless you.